John chapter 8, we're going to begin in verse 39 in just a moment. I do want to remind you, at the close of our service today, we will have an extremely brief quarterly church meeting. The only thing we have to look at is our financial report. Simply give that to you and make sure you're aware of that. We don't have any business to take care of, and so that'll just take a moment before we go on to Sunday school. John chapter 8, beginning in verse 39. I want to invite you this morning, if you're able, to stand as we reverence God's word together. They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You're doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is you are not of God." You may be seated. This morning, we continue looking at a text that we started last Sunday for Easter, and Jesus having this confrontation between himself and the religious leaders. He has talked to them, as we saw last week, about freedom and their need to be free. This is an idea that they have largely rejected. They do not think they need to be free. They do not believe that they are under any type of bondage or slavery that would require them to be free. So they say, "We don't need that. We've never been enslaved," which is not true. Obviously, the people of God, the Jewish people, had been enslaved. In fact, you could argue that while Jesus is saying these words, they are enslaved to the Roman Empire. They have no freedom. There are people all around who tell them what to do and when to do it. There are things that they believe are important, things that they would like to observe that they cannot observe because they have a ruler over them. But he's telling them that they need to be free. They need to be free from their sin. Their sin is bondage to them. And the only way they have to be free is through Christ, through him, through following him and believing in him. That's the only option they have to be free, and yet they are rejecting that option. And they come back to this idea that because of who their father is, because of where they have come from, because of what family they belong to, that ultimately they are free. They're going to make two claims that we're going to see as we go through this text this morning, two claims about themselves that quite frankly are not true. They're going to make two claims, but Jesus is going to respond with two characteristics that would be true if they really were who they say they are. We experience this all the time in life. People who make claims, and yet they don't have the information to back it up. They make claims about themselves, or maybe we see this on television and products that claims are made about them, or whatever it is in life. We hear these claims, but they don't have the things to back it up. And that's exactly what these Jewish leaders do in our text this morning. They make two claims about themselves, but they don't have the characteristics to back it up. They make the claim that Abraham is their father, and they make the claim that God is their father. But in both instances, they cannot back up the things that they are saying. We need to be aware this morning that when we make the claim that God is our father, that he has changed us, that he rules over our life, that we worship him in spirit and in truth, as the Bible tells us we must do. We make those claims, we need to know that there will be something to back up those claims. There will be something to prove those claims to be true. So we'll look at those two claims and then these characteristics that are lacking. You'll see first in verse 39, he says, if you are Abraham's children. So they're making this claim, the first part of verse 39, Abraham is our father. For them, that was of the utmost importance, that they could track their lineage back to Abraham. They could show that Abraham, the patriarch of their faith, was their father. And God had made promises to Abraham. He had promised Abraham that he would have this wonderful promised land. He had promised him that his children would be numerous and that they would bless the world. And so to make the claim that Abraham is our father was to be a part of all of those promises that God had made to his people. When they said, we are children of Abraham, they were including everything good that God had said to Abraham and putting that upon themselves, that it would be true about them. It was a big claim because they knew and they believed that God would bless Abraham and his descendants forever. That ultimately it would be a descendant of Abraham who would rule and reign forever. Now, what they don't realize is that they are talking to that descendant as they're having this conversation. But they are rejecting what he has to say because they believe with all of these promises, they're in need of nothing. So he says, if, which has to be a stinging rebuke, if you were Abraham's children, then you would be doing the works that Abraham did. If you're really Abraham's children, as you are claiming here to be, then you would be doing the things that Abraham did. What did Abraham do? Well, as we're going to see as we go through the rest of this passage, the primary thing that Abraham did in relationship to what Jesus is telling them here is he listened to God. God called out to Abraham and Abraham listened. Was Abraham perfect? No. Did Abraham have flaws? Yes. But did Abraham listen to and obey God when God spoke? Yes, he did. He went to the place that God showed him to go. He brought up the son that God told him to raise. He took his son and offered him as a sacrifice, or at least went through the process of offering him as a sacrifice. He listened when God spoke to him. He believed when God spoke. And Jesus tells them, if you're really Abraham's children, you would be listening when God speaks. You would be listening to what God has to say. You would be seeking to obey God and obey His commandments, to obey His word. That would be your heart's desire if you were really children of Abraham. They've made the claim, we're Abraham's children, but Jesus gives this rebuke. If you're really His children, you would listen. But what happens instead of listening? What do you do? Verse 40, but you seek to kill me. So instead of obeying me, obeying my voice, listening to what I have to say, and believing what I have to say, you seek to kill me. You seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I have heard from God, he says in verse 40. This is not what Abraham did. At one point, the Lord comes to Abraham. And again, if you want to go back and read this, you can see this in the book of Genesis. God comes to Abraham, and what does Abraham do? He pushes God away, right? No, he welcomes him in. He receives him. He shows great hospitality when the messenger from the Lord comes to him. He's welcoming. He hears what he says. Even though God, the message he has for Abraham in that particular instance is that he's going to bring judgment upon a city, Abraham believes that it's going to happen. He doesn't tell him to go away. He doesn't try to kill him. He welcomes him and he believes. And you contrast that with what the people here are doing, these Jewish leaders are doing to Jesus. They are rejecting him and they are seeking to kill him. They're claiming that they're following Abraham, that they are his children, but they're rejecting God. You seek to kill Jesus. He says, you're doing, verse 41, you're doing the works your father did. Now he's going to make the connection in verse 44 that their father is the devil. The devil has rejected God. Satan has rejected God. Satan is full of lies. They understand it as an earthly father when he says at the end of verse 41, we're not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. In other words, we're not outside of Abraham's family. We're not like those Gentile people in other parts of the world that are outside of God's family. They may even be thinking here about the Samaritan people who lived near them who they considered to be half-breed Jews. We're not like them. We're purely from this family. We're a part of this family, this lineage. Abraham is our father. But he knows that spiritually, Abraham is not their father, because if Abraham was their spiritual father, they would listen to God like Abraham listened to God. This is the claim they're making. And yet Jesus, piece by piece, is taking this claim apart and showing that it cannot be true. We need to understand that when we make a claim that we are part of the family of God, that we can't make that claim and at the same time reject what God has said. We can't make the claim that we follow God, that we are a part of God's family, while at the same time rejecting the idea of doing the things that people in God's family are supposed to do. And primarily, that's listening to the truth that has come from God. We live in this amazing, and I use that word in the negative, not in the positive, this amazing time where people think that you can claim to follow God and at the same time reject what God has said. It's not possible to do that. That's exactly what is happening here. These religious leaders would have thought of all the people in the world, they followed God most faithfully, and yet they were refusing to listen to God as he speaks to them through his son. And not only reject what he is saying, but they are seeking to kill the very messenger, as he says here about himself, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. They are seeking to kill Jesus while at the same time claiming themselves to be holy. That seems far-fetched, and as believers we read this and we should rightly get angry at this stance from these religious leaders. And yet, this is a perfect definition of the religion of our day. People want God without listening to His truth. They want to claim that they are of this lineage, of this family of God, and yet at the same time they reject what God has said. In fact, as the religious leaders in Jesus' day did, they claim the opposite. Over the last couple weeks with Easter coming, there was an interview done by a prominent seminary president. I use the term seminary very loosely. And in that interview, she basically denied all the important tenets of the Christian faith. The virgin birth and the resurrection and eternity are not important to her. And yet claimed boldly to be a Christian minister. Friends, it cannot be both ways. If the tomb still contains Christ, this is all pointless. What good is it to be an upstanding, right, and moral person if there is no eternity afterwards? If there is nothing, if this is all we have, we should all quickly revert to some form of social Darwinism where we do the most to get ourselves ahead in this life, because this is all we have and everything else is foolishness. You should attempt to accumulate for yourself all the wealth in the world, no matter who you have to destroy on the path to get there, because it doesn't matter. Those are the options. Being a good person and being a humanitarian and all of that is garbage if there's no eternity. But if there is a moral God who has created everything and demands that of you, then it is the right and just and holy thing to do. Otherwise, friends, the lake would have been a better place to have spent your morning. Now, you may think that it would have been anyways, and that's because you have a problem with God and you need to turn from your sin and follow Him. But friends, if the grave is still filled with the body of Christ, this is a waste of time. You cannot claim to follow God and simultaneously reject His truth. You cannot claim to be a part of His family and reject what He has said. But that was their first claim, that they were children of Abraham. The second claim goes further, and he begins to allude to it in verse 41 and then goes right into it in verse 42. Jesus said to them, if, now notice he said that in verse 39, if you are Abraham's children, and then they are making the claim in verse 41, yes, we are Abraham's children and we are also God's children, they say at the end of that verse. And so he replies to them, if you are God's children. Again, a stinging rebuke. We are Abraham's children. That's what they're proud of. We are God's children. We are not born of sexual immorality. We are God. We are God-birthed. We have one Father, even God. And he says, if you were God's children, if God were your Father, verse 42, you would love me. You would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but He, the Father, He sent me. If God were your Father, then you would love Jesus because He is from God. Friends, we can't make a claim that we love God, that God is our Father, without Jesus. That's why this notion that we have somehow allowed to creep into our thinking that there are other ways to God is foolishness. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no way to the Father but through Him. If you love the Father, you would love Him. If you really belong to the Father, if God were your Father, you would love Jesus. But instead of loving Jesus, He says, you do not understand what I say, verse 43. Why do you not understand what I say? Because you cannot bear to hear my word. Friends, a person who has God as their Father will love the word that comes from the Father. The word that comes from the Father transforms our life. It changes who we are. It makes us new. It gives us life. We cannot claim that, yes, on this hand we love God, as some people try to do. We have this abstract love for God, but it has nothing to do with Jesus and listening to His word and obeying what He has said. Friends, you can't separate the two. It's why I would have much more respect for the atheist who believes that there is nothing out there than the person who believes that God is some abstract idea and has nothing to do with Jesus. Someone who tries to minimize Jesus into simply a good teacher who said some good things that would help you lead a good life. Friends, Jesus did not come that you would live a good life. He came to die so that you could have a relationship with the eternal Creator of the universe. He came that you might belong to Him, that you would be His, that you would no longer be a slave to sin, but a resident, a child of God, a resident in God's kingdom. That was His purpose in coming. It says, if you had God as your Father, you would love Jesus, but you don't understand Him. Why do you not understand Him? Why did they not believe Him? Verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He doesn't leave a gray area, right? Man, we love some gray areas, don't we? It's like, well, this person, they're not, you know, they don't worship the devil. I mean, I got to imagine that there's been some conversations in the household of believers before where a young lady brings a young man home and he's a little rough around the edges. You know, maybe it was you. Maybe it was some of you, because, I mean, some of you are rough around the edges. So I could imagine, you know, your wife brings you home the first time to meet mom and dad. It's like, well, at least he doesn't worship the devil. You know, yeah, he's got some issues and he's got some problems, but man, we're glad he doesn't worship Satan, as if that's like a lowest possible thing, you know. He might be a Methodist, but at least he doesn't worship the devil, you know. I mean, that's where we're at. Some of you are Methodists and that hurt. Just fill in some other group that Methodists don't like and you'll feel better about what I just said. He doesn't have a gray area here. He's telling the religious leaders of his own faith, the religious leaders who are descended from Abraham, that is their ancestry, that is where they have come from. And he's telling them, because you have rejected God's word, you are children of the devil. And you are simply doing what you have seen your father, the devil, doing. It's not out of character for you. Why? Look, he says he was a murderer from the beginning. They're trying to kill Jesus. He says, that's not surprising to me. Why? You follow the devil. You follow Satan, and he's a murderer. Look at what he did in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3. He comes to Adam and Eve, and what is his intention? He wants to kill them. He is leading them toward temptation. He is telling them, hey, eat of this fruit and you will be like God and you will know good and evil. What is he wanting to do ultimately? He wants to kill Adam and Eve, and he succeeds in killing Adam and Eve. He's been doing that from the beginning, seeking to kill. So Jesus says it's not surprising then that your goal would be to murder me, because that is what he does. Why does he do that? He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Why are they rejecting Jesus? Or at least, what are they rejecting? They're rejecting the truth. He says, it's not surprising. The devil, Satan, he doesn't stand in the truth. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Think about that. When the devil lies, Jesus is saying, that is perfectly natural for him to do, because that's what he does. Just as when Jesus speaks, what comes out of his mouth is truth, when the devil speaks, it is perfectly natural for him to lie. Now think about our world. Think about how natural it is for the people far from God to lie. A couple of years ago, we had a Bible study here and talking about this idea of Christian ethics and when is it okay to lie? You know, is it okay to lie to save someone's life? Is it okay to lie if it will prevent a disaster or something like that? When is it okay? And we went for weeks discussing the subject of when is it okay? How is it okay? Why are we having that type of discussion? Because for a believer, the thought of lying is foreign. It's something we would struggle with. It's something we would fight with. We would want to reject the idea of lying, even in the best of circumstances, try to help someone out. It's still an internal struggle on when do we not tell the truth? Is there a time when we shouldn't tell the truth? But for the devil, that's not a struggle. For the world, that's not a struggle. Why? Because it's natural to them. It's natural for them to just lie. These Jewish leaders, these religious leaders, are making the claim that God is their Father. But at the same time, instead of loving Jesus and loving the truth, they do not understand Jesus. They reject his truth. They seek to kill him. And it's normal for them. It's natural for them. Friends, how many of us, how many believers that we know, make the claim that God is their Father, and yet they do not love Jesus? Well, they may even gather, and you may even gather, and I sometimes even gather, and we sing the songs, and we talk about how much I love Jesus because he first loved me. We talk about this great love we have for God, and yet we, in what we do, in the way we act, and in the way we live, we reject Christ. We do not understand what he says because we cannot bear to hear his word. We don't love the word of God. Friends, reading the word of God, hearing the word of God read and preached is not a burden for believers. But friends, when we're the children of the devil, it certainly is a burden. We don't want to hear that truth. You don't want to hear what God is saying. When Jesus is tempted in the wilderness, what does he respond with? The word of God. Now, this is the word of God, and anything Jesus says is the word of God coming out of his mouth, and yet he goes to the Old Testament and he speaks the word of God to Satan. And the devil can't endure it. Friends, we can't make the claim that God is our Father and not love his word, love his truth. Our desire can't be to separate ourselves from God, to murder God's word, to rid ourselves of it. And yet, how many believers, how many places that call themselves churches will gather this morning, and there will be people who call themselves pastors and preachers who will intentionally try to destroy what God has said for the benefit of their people. How many will reject what God has said? How many will stand up before people and talk about their opinions and tell some stories and make people laugh, but never tell people what God has said? Friends, we can't do that. That's not who we are as believers. We love the truth if God is our Father. We can't make the claim that we're part of God's family. We can't make the claim that God is our Father if we do not love Jesus and His Word. Those are two claims. The last two verses give us two characteristics that demonstrate that God is our Father. He says in verse 46, which one of you convicts me of sin? Obviously, they have no answer. If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? That's a good question, isn't it? If I tell you the truth, why would you not believe? Now, there's various answers for that in various situations. So, all of you have probably had your kid before, they tell you the truth and you don't believe them. Maybe there's evidence to the contrary. You're looking at past things that they've done, whatever that is. Maybe you've got that type of relationship with someone else. Maybe they've burned the bridges before. They've been the little boy who cried wolf too many times. They've lied to you too many times. And so you don't believe them when they tell you the truth. That's understandable, right? I mean, you can only trust people so much. And if they've lied to you too much, it's just, you can't do it anymore. But this is Jesus. And He's asking them, which one of you convicts me of sin? Nobody can answer that. Nobody can make a claim because Jesus hasn't sinned. So if He tells you the truth, why do you not believe Him? What is the reason for not believing Him? Well, the reason for not believing Him is that you do not know Him. You cannot bear His word, as He says in verse 43. The only reason to reject what Jesus has said as truth is if you do not believe in Him. If you are not His child, if you are not part of His family, that is why you would reject Him. You don't want to hear it. Friends, when we're far from God, when we're loving our sin, even though it has us in bondage, we do not want to hear Jesus. We do not want to hear His truth. By the way, that's the only time it's okay to say His truth or her truth is when you're talking about Jesus. Just a little side note. He is the truth, and so His truth is truth, and your truth is your opinion. So keep that in mind. When we listen to His truth, it shows we're part of God's family. When we believe Jesus, what characteristics demonstrate that God is our Father? We believe Jesus. He has told them back in verse 42, if God were your Father, you would love me. Friends, we need to believe Jesus. When He says that He is the only way, we believe that He is the only way. When He says that we need to repent and believe, we need to repent and believe. When He says, I'm coming back, we believe He is coming back. Friends, we need to believe that. This garbage that we're hearing from the world, these things that we're being told, this pop psychology and whatever else, friends, it is not rooted in truth. But when Jesus says something, He is true. Because you can't show His fault. You can't convict Him of sin. If we're part of God's family, we believe Jesus. Then the second, look at the verse 47. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Friends, do you want to hear from God? Listen to Jesus. That's the second characteristic. The first is to believe Jesus, and the next is to hear God. Friends, if you aren't spending any time reading God's Word, you are not spending time listening to God. This magical time we live in where you're supposed to cry out to the sky and God's going to speak to you through some thunderous voice or whatever. Friends, until you have mastered what God has said, why are you out looking for God to say something else? Most believers who are out here looking for a word from the Lord have never read the word of the Lord. They haven't spent time in reading what God has said to know what God has said. And friends, as we've seen through history, people that don't spend time here, but they spend time out here, they'll hear something all right. And it's amazing how often they hear something that leads them to go far from God. Some golden tablets drop out of the sky. Voices and trances and visions happen. It's amazing how that works. People come up with these new ideas that nobody's thought of in 2,000 years. They've got some fresh revelation from God, and they've ignored what God has said. They've ignored the writings of the men who walked with Jesus, who listened as he sat on the side of hills, the front of boats, and taught. They hear this new radical thing that is different from the men who sat around the table and ate with him. Because they wanted to go out and hear God say something instead of listening to what God has said. Friends, by all means, when you have mastered this word, go and ask for something else. You'll be dead long before then. Or you'll have realized as you go through it that he has given you all you need. But start with his word. Friends, if you want to have this characteristic that is true of those who have God as their Father, as we who have God as our Father, believe Jesus and hear God. And know this, that whoever is of God hears the words of God. And if you're not hearing from him, it is because you are not of him. That may seem counterintuitive, and it may seem like a logical fallacy, but friends, it remains true about his word. There are plenty of people who come to this book, and they read it as some type of literature, and they walk away and go, well, that's nice. And they go to the next one, and they read it, and they say, that's nice, and they keep moving along. But friends, when we have been changed by him, when we have repented of our sin and believed his good news, when we come to his word, he speaks to us. And 2,000 years later, his word continues to speak. If you want to claim to be part of God's family and claim that God is your Father, it can't be by you rejecting God. By you rejecting his truth, by you seeking to kill Jesus, by refusing to understand and obey his word. Friends, these Jewish leaders, they seek to kill Jesus because Satan is a murderer and he is their father. They don't believe him because Satan is their father and Satan is the father of lies. They cannot bear the truth. You cannot listen to the truth if you're not of the truth. But we who know him must believe and must listen. Friends, this morning, if you are far from God, there is no gray area in that. That's not my choice. That's not some judgmental statement on your character. That's just what the Bible says. You either are his child or you are someone else's. You either belong to God or you belong to his adversary, a defeated foe, the devil. But friends, this morning, the good news for the people that are listening, the reason he says these things is not to condemn them. We've already been told in John's gospel that they stand condemned already. He did not tell these things to push them further away, but to expose to them their need to follow Christ. So this morning, if you have never followed him, you should not delay in doing so. He is the author of truth. He is the embodiment of truth. And through him and him alone do we have hope. If you've never followed him, today is the day to do so. But friends, many of you, most of you in here are believers. You would say, I'm a child of God. Do you trust then the one who is truth? Do you believe in Jesus? Now, believing in Jesus doesn't mean that a man existed 2,000 years ago whose name was Jesus and he lived in this general geographical area during a certain period of time. Friends, part of belief is to obey him. Part of belief is obedience to what he has said. Are you believing in Jesus not only this morning, but with each day of your life? If you say you're a child of God this morning, are you listening to his word? Is it your commitment that each time you walk out these doors that you're going to take what he has said and you're going to apply it to your life in the power of his Holy Spirit? But not only that Sunday mornings will not be the only time you hear from God. But that because he is the creator of everything, because you belong to him, that your walk with him is a constant devotion. Friends, if you don't know him, today is the day to know him. But if you do know him, friends, there will be characteristics of your life that will be true because you are a child of God. Do you believe in him? Do you listen to his word? If not, the past is the past, and today is the day. Today is the day to believe what Jesus has said, to listen to what he has said, to believe that it is true. Though the whole world may dismiss it, you commit yourself to believing Christ. Is that true of you this morning? Because it is the character of a child of God. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you are good to us even as we belonged to another. Even as we, because of our sin, belonged to the family of the devil. You died on the cross to adopt us into your family. You died on the cross. You purchased our lives and you made us your own. My prayer is that we would then live like those who belong to you. That we would live like those who are a part of your family. God, be our Father this morning. Teach us through your word. Help us to believe where we have doubt and fear. God, claim us daily as your own. Remind us daily of the provision you have given us, and help us to walk faithfully before you. God, lead and guide us during this time of prayer and reflection. God, let us be found faithful as we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand as we sing a final song this morning. I want to encourage you with this. If you've never followed Christ, today is the day. Don't wait for something else or some other time. But today is the day to follow him. But friends, if you are his child, if that's the claim, would you examine your heart? Do you believe Jesus? Do you believe what he has said? Do you believe who he is? And are you listening to his word? Friends, if that's not the case, make it so. Commit to obedience. Commit to following him. He has saved you. He has redeemed you. He's bought you out of darkness. You are a slave to sin, as he reminded them in the passage we had last week. And he has purchased you, and you are his. You are a child of God. Would you commit that you would live like it and do so today? Would you respond to God's word as we sing together?